Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Andrew Shatkin Show, and I want to welcome everybody. It's on 7 days a week, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10 or 11, including weekends. And I want to tell you that, first of all, I have, in addition to a law degree, JD, I have a degree from Princeton Theological Seminary in Biblical Studies, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, and I'm very much a committed Christian in every way, whether in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, or in the creeds of the Church, Athanasian, Nicene, and Apostles' Creed. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about something that is sort of misunderstood. I'm going to explain why it is important and why it exists. That is the issue of repentance, which Jesus seems to tell us we have to do, or God tells us we have to do. If we want to get to heaven, we want to be with the saints in joy and love, we have to repent of our sins. The question is, why must we repent? Why, if God loves us, does he require us to do this, to repent? Let's talk about repentance. Now, this show is a, I'm going to talk about the show. It has three parameters, essentially. I am a great fan of literature, Russian, French, German, English, American literature, and literature of all countries. And I'm a great fan of literature, and I love books, and I love literature. I love the great writers, such as John Milton's Paradise Lost, which he wrote when he was blind, which was the power of his intellect. And I also love E.M. Forster and Leo Tolstoy and many others of the great writers of the past. And I am a literary aficionado, and this show reflects that. Second, I'm a Christian, and I follow the creeds of the Church and the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Every word is of value and is truth and is the mind of God. And I'm a political conservative, but I follow Jesus and his concern for poverty in the underclass. Now I'm going to talk, that's the basic thrust of the show. Now I'm going to talk about my position on various issues, my background. This show is a politically incorrect show. We do not concern ourselves with political correctness. We don't concern ourselves with political rhetoric, left-wing rhetoric. We don't concern ourselves with media hype, media falsehoods, or media lies. We're out for facts and truth. We want to do this by critical, accurate thinking. We are concerned with truth and facts and getting at truth and facts. We're not concerned with political lies, which are wasting my time, your time, and making fools of many generations of people who believe them and hear them and perhaps believe them. Second of all, this show is a Christian show, and I welcome all faiths because the face of Jesus and his love is found in all faiths and all persons, wherever they are, whoever they are. So a Hindu, an Islamic person, and a Shintoist, and wherever they are, they have the face and love of Jesus for me. Where are you going to find Jesus and his love? In every human being, in every faith. So, yes, I'm a Christian, but I include, as a Christian, all people in the world who Jesus died for on the cross. All humanity, the entire generations of humanity, from the beginning to the end. And that includes the unborn and dying. I have a political slant to the show. I'm a conservative, but I draw the line. I have a concern for the poor and underclass, as Jesus commands, where he says the poor are blessed and the poor in spirit are blessed. And it was said of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? His followers were sinners, ritual sinners, moral sinners, and these were the people that he came to save. not the great people, not the educated people, but the very humble and unworthy sinners of the world. Next, I want to say I have a political, it's always a political side. I'm a conservative, but on the other hand, I follow Christ and his concern for the poor, as I mentioned. Next, I run two radio shows, podcast show and Blog Talk radio show. These are Christian shows. But as I said, I have many people from many countries visiting these shows. Even from Saudi Arabia visits Blog Talk Radio, and from many countries in the world, over 4,300 visitors to my podcast. So I've had many, many visitors all over the world, and they come from all races and all faiths. And as I said, I'm very happy that the faiths of the world are visiting these Christian sites. I don't say they have to believe it, but I'm extremely happy they're looking at it and giving thought to it. I have a friend in Iran, a philosophy student, who is a Muslim, who is very interested in my Christian books, extremely. So these all people all over the world visit these podcasts and the Blog Talk Radio, non-Christians and Christians alike. And I'm very happy that my non-Christian brethren, my Muslim friends visit these Christian sites and think about it. And I'm prepared to dialogue with them and give thought to what they have to say about their religion. I want to hear about it. I want to understand them. And I want, most of all, I see Jesus in the face and his love of every human being that has ever lived or come alive or that I encounter. Next, I have written 10 books. I'm a writer. I continue to write books. I've written 10 books. These books are Christian books and legal books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and I've written Christian books, essays in the Christian Worldview, essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables. I analyze all 41 parables, and I have great, great love for the parables, because the parables are the advice and direction of Christ, and they come from the mind and thought of God. The parables are the mind and thought of God, of Jesus. Jesus is God. Many parables come from the mind and thought of God. They are wonderful, and they are worth reading and rereading for the reason I indicated. I also have written a book on the Psalms, an analysis of all 150 Psalms. John Donne, the Anglican poet, said of the Psalms that they were the manna of the church. They are wonderful. They are spiritual direction. They are lyric poetry, Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in seminary, many of them, and I read the English version of the Psalms in Sunday school up to about age 14. The first, second, and 23rd Psalm I memorized. I always read the Psalms because the Psalms are the mind of God as he speaks to us in his word. And they are wonderful, and they are beautiful lyric poetry, and they're irreplaceable. And I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, to see which you will get more tired of, the Psalms in an English translation or Dostoevsky in an English translation. I guarantee you will grow more tired of Tolstoy and Dostoevsky in English translation than the Psalms. The Psalms in any translation, their greatness comes across and grabs us completely. Next, I am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing 4 books of my blogs, literary, philosophical, theological, and political. I'm writing 4 books of my blogs. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing a book on the book of Job in the Bible. Job is a wonderful book. He was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but he made it into the Hebrew canon. And he was a fantastic book, and which is true of all of the Bible. You cannot exhaust the intellectual resources of the Bible by any stretch of the imagination. You cannot do it. It is so great. And Job is great. Next, as I said, I'm writing 4 blog books, and I have written other books that are well worth looking into. Erase Jesti, a book on evidence, is found in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. A book, a portion of New York Jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia, legal encyclopedia, it's on criminal law and demands and notices. That chapter, I wrote that. And finally, I wrote a chapter in the New York Family Law and Practice, published by West, on paternity, which has been widely sold. So I also have written 3 major journal articles, 2 in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, and it's been bought by the State Department, and they are concerned with sexual orientation discrimination and the United States educational system. I've also written they've been bought by many universities all over the world, and I also have written a Syracuse Law Review criminal procedure article, which has had wide circulation throughout universities in the world, and has also been bought not only by the State Department, by the United States Supreme Court. So I'm very happy with the people that are reading my work and finding a degree of value in it. So now I'm going to talk about repentance. Now, people want to think of God as a gift giver. They don't want to think of him as making judgments. Most of all, they dislike that particular aspect of God, which is present in the Bible all over the place. But I'm not going to talk about judgments. I'm going to talk about repentance. And repentance is not excusing our sins, but presenting ourselves as sinners and giving way to a feeling of regret. Repentance, you might say, is regret. It's our attempt to apologize for our sins in a very real sense. So, question is, God talks about repentance, and the question is, why he is concerned about it. And I'll tell you why. God is not some kind of a Santa Claus. He is not giving himself away to humanity. He is not simply saying, you're all great, I love you all, you're welcome to heaven, come on down. That would be the hope of many people, sort of a universal love of God for all men and women. I suppose he does have love for all men and women, but he also realizes and understands that the arrangement between humanity and him is reciprocal. It runs both ways. Repentance is required by God, or is part of the Christian faith, because God is not just giving away salvation. He's not giving it away. He's not a Santa Claus for humanity, giving gifts, you might say. That isn't how it works. God says, you have to meet me halfway. God requires a relationship. He wants a relationship with humanity. And repentance is an aspect of that relationship. Because God says to us, I love you. I want you with me in heaven. But it isn't going to happen automatically. You have to meet me halfway and repent of your sins. And then you can be with me in heaven. That is really what he's saying. He wants people to, it's a voluntary relationship. He wants people to realize their shortcomings and admit them and deal with them and repent of them. He's saying that I'm not just going to be the Santa Claus you wanted me to be. I'm not going to be the overall nice fellow bringing you salvation and love for nothing. There's a price. God lays a price on his gift of love and salvation. That price is our approaching a halfway and understanding our sins and failings and repenting of them. I think that's it. He wants a reciprocal relationship. He doesn't want us, he's not going to just say, walk in, come on down. Your life may have been messed up, but it's over and now you can make it with me. It doesn't work that way. He requires people to come to him halfway with an act of repentance. And by repenting, we become into a relationship with God in Christ. We come to halfway to understand him, and he comes halfway to understand us. It's the relationship of humanity with God is reciprocal. It's a reciprocal, voluntary situation, and God says, yes, I love you. Yes, I want to save you. I will everyone to be saved. But he does say this caveat with this little exclamation mark. He says you have to meet me halfway and repent of your sins. And unless you do that, you're not just walking in to my mansions in heaven. Nobody just walks in. They have to be repent of their sin. They have to be saved from their sins. They have to deal with their sins. And we deal with our sins by God saving our sins. But most of all, he requires us to act to repent of our sins. He requires us to meet him. You might say, meet him halfway with repentance. Unless we do that, we will not be saved because we have not repented. We have not dealt with our shortcomings. We have not dealt with our sins. Unless we do that, unless we repent and come to understand our limitations as human beings, we will never approach the halfway mark with God. God wants a relationship, and a relationship is voluntary, and that relationship deals with our repenting of our sins. Unless we do that, there is no relationship. We are not meeting with God. God wants to meet us halfway, but he says, yes, I love you. Yes, I want you in heaven with me, but please come to me halfway and repent of your sins and deal with your shortcomings. So repentance is quite important. It's mentioned several times in the Gospels, many times in the Bible. And I've just commented on it, and I hope you've enjoyed this little talk about it. I hope I've explained why God wants people to repent, not because he wants to make them feel bad or that he wants them to deal with their shortcomings and hurt their feelings. He wants people to repent because it's an act of coming to him halfway as a human being. Because we have dealt with our sins, and we have dealt with our sins by repenting, and then we are coming to God and Christ in a halfway mode, and we are then coming on the road to joy and love of Christ in heaven and the saints and the angels. I hope you've enjoyed this talk. I hope it's of value, and I will once again visit this topic on another day more deeply and more succinct, more significantly. In the meantime, I ask you to think about what I said, understand repentance, why God requires this of us, and why we should do it. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this talk as much as I've enjoyed giving it. Thank you.